praise Him in this house and lift Him up.
The Lord says this is a year of increase. He says this is a year when He will stretch out to the right. He will stretch out to the left. He will stretch out to the north and to the south. He says He will stretch out over this place by the power of His Spirit. He will stretch and He will cover and He will move and He will supernaturally and sovereignly intervene. The Lord says, I will multiply and I will increase. Yea, by the power of my Spirit, every answer to prayers that you have laid at my feet, I say, this is the year when you shall see them come to pass. For I say it is a year of my Spirit, a year of my presence, a year of my power that I release in this place, says the Lord, that you might come forth and that you might be a light and a witness and a testimony to my great glory being poured out in this place, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Just for a second, let me just say this. I have a confirmation. I have a witness in my heart that is a word from the Lord, you know. And so whatever your prayer is, you know, God is going to do something amazing in 2018. I do believe this is the year where He's going to enlarge our tents and increase our influence and ability to impact this community. So will you just close your eyes for a second and lift up your hands? Hallelujah. Lord God, we just respond to You, Lord God. We say thank You. Thank You, Lord God, Father. We receive this word of affirmation and of confirmation of Your amazing work, Father, in this house for 2018. Father, we invite the prophetic. We invite, Lord God, the words of encouragement of Your Spirit, Lord God, Father. Hallelujah. We cannot live without them, Lord God, Father. So we thank You for Your presence here, Lord Jesus. And Father, we worship You, O God. Thank You, Lord God, for answers to prayer, Lord God. Hallelujah. How there are many who have been praying for years, months, and weeks, Lord God, Father. And I thank You that the answer is coming. I thank You that the answer is coming, Lord God, Father. Miraculous, Father. Miraculous healings, Lord God, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Okay. All right. So today I want to talk about one prayer. Okay. That's the title of my message. One prayer. Okay. When we talk about one prayer, we're talking about being one. We're talking about being focused. We're talking about doing it in unity. And that is one of the key words that God has given me for the last year, you know, as I began to, as a lead pastor and then into this year, that whatever we do, whether big or small, we're going to do it together. Amen. There is power in unity, you know, and we've seen it all year round. You guys have responded when we had BVS. Man, the churches came together. We had so many volunteers. We had so many children and so much blessing, you know, and then we had the missions conference and we had a great, you know, turnout and just event after event. We've just seen the glory of God. And God has said, not just be one within your body, but be one with the body of Christ in Sierra Vista. And so we've decided we're a kingdom-oriented church. You know, we're not about competing. We're not about, hey, you got to come to our church. We're like, hey, you need to get into the kingdom. You need to get into the fold, wherever the Lord leads you. You know, so we connect very well with our sister church at Shiloh, but not just with them. We have so many great relationships, you know, with TMCC. And with Village Meadows Baptist, and now I've started talking with a pastor from New Hope, Pastor Dennis Dimitrov, you know, and we have like Kajik, you know, Pastor Cleo McCall. Oh, we love him. We've been texting and just encouraging one another, you know, because this is about the kingdom. Amen. And so many of the churches I can't get into right now, which, by the way, there will be another night of refreshing next Sunday afternoon, but it will not be here. It's going to be at a Pastor Kevin Martin's church, which is Living Word Family Church, you know, and the information, I believe, is in the packet. So if you want to know where to go next week, for those of you that love to worship, love to pray and to soak, you know, that's the time to do it, you know, and it's going to be a very prophetic time, you know. Tim Gidley is going to be leading that. He's back in Sierra Vista for that. So if you want to take advantage of that next week. All right. All right, so I just want to tell you, there's something that happens in the spiritual when there's unity and a purpose. You know, so today I want to talk about four instances in the Bible, you know, and there's many instances in the Bible, but I want to talk about four specific ones where, you know, unity in prayer and in some of the cases in fasting, you know, changed history, impacted, you know, the community, impacted a nation. So I want you to get some encouragement as you begin this. You know, I told you, as if you were going to fast, I told you a couple of practical things to do. Tell someone or write it down, you know, preferably write it down. Don't go tell everybody that you're fasting, but you may need to at least tell your spouse, you know, so she doesn't make you that great meal that you love and you're like, oh, no, honey, I'm not eating right now, you know, or something like that. But at least write it down so that you make it real. Okay, have a plan, whatever it is, you know, and we, through in the prayer fasting guide, there are many examples of how to go about it, okay? You know, like I said, you can skip a meal, you can skip two meals, fast at 3 p.m., the whole day, dry fast, you know, complete fast, the Daniel fast, you know, and the prayer guide is right there, my wife is showing it to you, and then if you want to do, you know, a media fast, you know, that's those are really big, you know. Pastor Jensen Franklin doesn't believe that that's a biblical, you know, form of fast, but I was like, there was no media in the Bible. So, you know, to me, whenever I've done a media fast, I'll do for like a month and say I'm staying away from, you know, internet and movies and TV and stuff like that. And man, it just, I feel like clarity, you know, just like I can hear God. It just does something to my spirit too. So, you know, it may not be an official fast, but I think it's a great way to get close to God. So, you know, especially young people, you know, could use that. As a single man, that was like one of my main fasts. all right, let's get going. So the first one I want to talk about is one that occurred during the captivity. Okay, that means that after all the kings of Israel and Judah, remember there was a time when all that ended and God said, you have sinned so much, you go into captivity. And, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, you know, took a bunch of people from Judah captive. And among them were four young men, if you remember them, right? It was Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, you know, and they all got new names when they got to Babylon, if you remember that story, right? So let me just kind of frame this picture for you. I don't want to read all the scripture because it might take a while. That's why I'm going to just give you the synopsis. The king had a dream and was so troubled that he had all of his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers interpret the dream. They all said, well, tell us what your dream is, and then we can help you. But he didn't want to be lied to. So he said, I firmly decided that you have to tell me what the dream is, and then you have to interpret it. You got, remember this story? Some of you are familiar with it? If you do so, it says, I will greatly reward and honor you. And they said, King, no one can do that. No one can, you know, figure out what's on your mind, you know, much less interpret. It's too difficult. You know, and I just want to tell you, for all the men, I just want a little space right here. It is even harder than when your wife wants you to follow the breadcrumbs, okay? You know, you just, nobody caught that. I figured it out. Anyway, but the king was so furious at them that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon because they couldn't do it. And guess what? Daniel wasn't even there when it happened. Somebody had to come and tell him. So even Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who had not been made officials, if you remember for chapter 1, this is in chapter 2, you know, they're going to be executed too. So Daniel's like, whoa, wait a second, hold on. All right, tell the king to just give me a little bit of time. I'm going to pray, okay, and then we'll see what happens. And just an interesting thing about this, you know, Babylon is in prison in Iraq, and we're hearing there's a great revival in Iraq and Iran. There's a lot of Christians, you know, a lot of converts happening. I've heard that there's so many Christians in Iran now that they believe that they are in all spheres of society in kind of an underground manner. You know, they could be in government, you know, and they're, you know, Bible-believing Christians right then and there. Isn't that amazing? So this happened there. There was all this, you know, devout, you know, men of God like Daniel and his friends, you know, embedded in the government here in Babylon, you know, and so, but God's going to use them. So let's jump into this. Daniel chapter 2, verses 14 through 23. So this is the messenger Arioch. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king, into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made me known. You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Amen. There is nothing too great for our God. And when a man of God, a woman of God says, "Friends, can you, come together with me? Can you be in agreement for this great challenge in my life?" Something happens. You know, it just moves the heart of God as we come together. And it's great that we've had already so much focused prayer this weekend. And then we have a great word coming from God today. You know, the Pastor Mark saying, "I will do it. I'm going to answer all of these prayers you've been having. I'm going to extend your tents." What a great feeling. Amen. And sometimes people above us, like the government, make decisions that affect us, don't they? And we have to live with them. But we can enlist the help of people in covenant relationships. And I want to key in on that covenant relationship. What is a covenant relationship? First of all, it involves people who are in covenant with God. Amen. A covenant is a contract that doesn't run out. And usually it's based on, on some kind of a medium, something that is kind of, sometimes it's called a blood covenant, or something like that. Well, in this, like marriage, for example, is a covenant, is a contract that doesn't end. It says, "Until death do us part." The problem is that the covenant of many marriages is based on themselves and their own word, right? But the covenant marriage that is made on God, then those are the ones that can last, right? Because it's based on His faithfulness, on His blood. Amen. So the same way, for a covenant relationship with God to work is both people have to have a relationship with Jesus. Right? Something happens when that happens. And then when you come into agreement with one another, there's a bond. And it's not just a loose kind of thing. The body of Christ is not supposed to be a bunch of people that come together in a casual, loose way. It is a people bound to each other eternally. Eternally. We're going to heaven together. We walk shoulder to shoulder. Acts chapter 2 says that they had all things in common. We also see that in chapter 4. The good and the bad we have in common. The word says that we have been blood bought, and that's the basis of our covenant. The blood of Jesus. It was supplied by God. It wasn't supplied by man. The basis of the covenant was supplied by God. Amen. That's why it's enduring. So we do not belong to ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we should no longer live for ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God and we belong to each other. Everybody say that with me. We belong to God and we belong to each other. That is the truth. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." We're submitted and accountable to one another. We worry about each other. We watch each other's backs. We're genuinely concerned for one another. We leave no one behind. So Daniel, as a Jew, sought the prayers of those he was in covenant with. Who am I going to go pray with? The Babylonians? No, I'm going to go with the men of God. With my three friends that I know that they love God. They've already been through things with me in chapter 1. And it says that God honored them after they said, "We're not going to have any of the food of the king's table," which maybe there was pork involved, or it wasn't cooked the kosher way, or it was offered to the gods. But at any rate, Daniel and his friends said, "We will not have any of that food. We're going to abstain from it," and talk about, fasting again. They abstained from that. This is, they just had water and vegetables. And it says that when they were done, God honored them. It says they were found to be 10 times better than any of the men, any of the officials in Babylon. There's something that happens, when we are in covenant and we pray and we seek God with all our heart. So It is in the darkest hour that they pleaded to God and He answered. Not only were these four men saved, but even all the unsaved people saw the glory of God. Even the king, Nebuchadnezzar, said, "Wow, of all the gods," he still thought there was many gods, so he says, "Of all the gods, this is the real God, the God of Daniel. He is the God of gods. He is the God of gods." It says he fell prostrate, and all the kings and officials that were slated for execution were spared. So because of the covenant prayer of a few righteous people, you know, it impacts, you know, a whole city, a whole community, a whole nation. Amen? So there's something that happens when we come together as the family of God to pray for each other. Something, the faith of one is not strong enough, but when we come together with the faith of many, you know, we can carry each other over the threshold of victory. We just carry each other over the threshold of victory. You know, there's times when I am weak and I need somebody else. And there's sometimes when another person is weak and I can help that person. You know, we all have those low moments. That's why it's great to be in covenant relationship. Your best friends should be right here. They should be in the body of Christ. They shouldn't be outside. I mean, you can have great relationships, but your best friends, the people that you know are going to have your back, are the people that have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ that you're in covenant with. Amen? We do things together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 13 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." And let me just say something. This is not in my notes. When we talk about membership to the church, you know, that is not like necessarily biblical. It's not like it says you shall be a member, you know, of the church. You know, one of the keys to being a member of the church is, one, so that we know who you are. And if you're one of our sheep, we want to take care of you. But we don't know if you're like just visiting and just, you know, so the main thing is we're accountable to God too for your lives. But if you will say, "Hey, I want to commit to this church," we will commit to you with prayer. You know, we will be there for you when you need us. Amen? So that's why we do the membership thing. So don't read too much into it. It has its importance. Okay? It says also, "If two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." And who's that third, you know, cord? Jesus. In a marriage, in any covenant relationship between friends or family members, Jesus should be in the center. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8 says, you know, in this chapter starts before this, basically saying, "If you obey my commands, then five of you will chase 100. And 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you." I am believing in this season of 21 days, our enemies are going to run in seven directions, like the Bible says. We're going to have victory in many areas. I'm telling you. Yes. You know, some of the sins and temptations that maybe you struggle with, or, you know, some of the fears and anxieties, you know, they're going to fall off of you, you know, as you walk this out. Amen. You just wait it out. And like Naaman, it says that, you know, he dipped himself, you know, seven times. But I'm sure the sixth time he's like looking at his skin saying, "How come it's not getting cleansed?" But he says, "No, I got to do it the seventh time." You know, then the seventh time, which means perfection, then the miracle happened. So don't just do the, you know, 2 days of prayer and fasting, you know, 5 days of prayer and fasting. Do the 21 days. Walk it out with us. Let's do it together, shoulder to shoulder. Amen. All right. Matthew 18 and 19 states, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Let's be in agreement. All right, one last scripture. Daniel chapter 2, verses 48 and 49. "Then the king," this is the outcome of everything that happened in chapter 2, "then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him." There is a reward. Our God is a rewarder. You know, the Bible says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward with me." In the Hebrews 11, it says that, you know, that he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So let's diligently seek him in this 21 days. Amen? Hallelujah. And it says, he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, listen to this. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. And this is what God's been speaking to me this week. When you're in covenant relationship, you all went together. I heard a story recently of a pastor who was doing some ministry in Brazil. And the Holy Spirit came upon him powerfully. And I don't know, I can't remember the details right now, but it says that while his wife was driving in the United States, the Holy Spirit came upon her at the same time. And I really believe it's because of that covenant relationship. You know, and I can tell you example after example. You know, I prayed, God, when I, you know, go into ministry, I don't want it just to be me, you know, dragging my wife. I've said this before. You know, and I feel that everything that happens with me happens to her, and what happens to her happens to me. We're just blessing, you know, each other by staying in covenant relationship. And your marriages are the same. Amen. God does something amazing in your life. Somehow the other person automatically gets it too. Isn't that crazy? And I think this happens too. When we remain in covenant relationship to one another, you know, the wins of one person at Shiloh are for everybody else. Amen? We all win together. Hallelujah. Her anointing is mine. My anointing is hers. Your anointing is mine as well. And my anointing is yours. If you stay in covenant relationship, let's walk this out together. Amen. I'm in covenant with the Tumpkins, and I'm partaking of their anointing. Hallelujah. And they're in covenant with me. Hopefully they can get something too. You know. Hallelujah. Shiloh, I want to tell you, God is calling us to not just be members, but a family who is bound by the blood and the love of God. Hallelujah. You know how we know that the Spirit of God, the presence of God has fallen upon us in the services is when you start feeling love for people. You might have come in all dry, run down, you know, beat up by life. But then you walk into the service and the music is playing. And all of a sudden you just say, like, you know, you look at people, you're like, man, I love them. I just love those people, you know. And sure, they wronged me today, but I love them, you know. I have mercy for them, you know. That's how you know, is when the love of God fills your heart. Amen? You were created for relationship. You were created for relationship. To be a part of an amazing team. Many people long to belong. But the only empowering, eternal, life-giving relationships are the ones who are in a covenant with the basis of the blood of Christ. Those endure forever. Can't be shaken. Amen? We're going to walk this right into eternity, people. We're going to be in heaven together. We're going to party in heaven. You need to be in covenant relationship. You need to come into the family of God. If you haven't done so, you know, just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins. Amen? Hallelujah. He will fulfill His end of the bargain. Sometimes we're flaky, but He's not. Amen? He is the rock. He's the rock of ages. Amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Getting excited. All right. I got some more examples for you. Pentecost. What a defining moment. Changed the history of the world forever. It was this Pentecost. 50 days after the resurrection. Jesus said, let me give you another synopsis. I have something for you, disciples, all you that have been following me. Do not leave Jerusalem. Stay together. It says there were 120 people there in Acts chapter 2. And we're together in what? One accord. And the Spirit of God fell and baptized them in the Spirit and fire, and they spoke in tongues. And from there they went to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Not in their own power, but under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. 2018 is going to be a year of reaching out, of advancing, but it's not going to be in our power. It's not going to be in our wisdom, in our strategies, gimmicks, or anything like that. You know, we're going to do it in God's power. You know, God, you know, we've been fishing all night. But if you say to throw the nets to the right side one more time, all right, we'll do it. It's been done before. We don't think it works. You know, this BBS thing, I guess everybody's doing it. But somehow when we threw the net, something happened. We obeyed what God wanted us to do, and amazing things happened. Hallelujah. So in these 21 days, we're going to hunker down together and be in one accord. That's why it's important that you follow that guide. I know there's a lot of things to pray, and I'm sure you can pray your own stuff, but make sure that you're reading through it. That way you stay connected. I just want to tell you something really cool. There are, I would say, probably dozens, if not hundreds, thousands of churches doing this together. Can you imagine the effect this is going to have on our nation? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I found Jensen Franklin's church is actually starting today too. They're starting today. So if you want to, you know, follow them on YouTube or something and get some good stuff, you know, hey, by all means, I do it all the time. All right. Hallelujah. So we're going to ask God for revelation like Daniel did. Amen. Tell someone, this is bigger than you think. This is bigger than you think. All right. Next example. James the disciple and the brother of John had just been killed. Herod saw that this pleased the Jews, so he apprehended Peter and intended to try him as well. So we move to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And look what it says right there. So Peter was kept in prison, but what? The church was earnestly praying to God for him. Interceding. Amen. Earnestly. This is from the Greek word ektenes. It literally means to be stretched out. But what it actually means is to do it fervently, without ceasing. You know, when I thought of being stretched out, I felt like there's a tension. It's like I'm holding things together as I pray. I have to pray. You know, like Samuel said, it would be a sin for me not to pray. God has called me to stand in the gap for this nation, and I cannot stop praying for them. Amen? You know, maybe not all of you feel like that. You know, and there was times in my life where I was very loose, you know, with my prayers, you know, but once you become a pastor, you're like, it would be a sin if I didn't pray for you guys, you know. But I find such a delight in doing it. So I contend, you know, I contend. And something amazing says, it says that in the night an angel showed up while Peter slept between two soldiers. And the angel called for the chains to fall off and told them, put on your clothes and get your cloak on. And he said, follow me. And off they went out of the prison. And the angel eventually left him. And Peter showed up at the house of the mother of John Mark, whose name was Mary, while many were gathered to pray. Just imagine the scene. They're fearful for Peter's life, not knowing what's going to happen, but praying earnestly. But what? It says the chains had fallen off. And I really believe as we pray, some of you, you know, it may not even be here today. The chains are going to fall off. People you've been praying for. Some prodigal sons and daughters. The chains are going to fall off while we're praying earnestly and fervently for them. Amazing things are going to happen. Hallelujah. And you're going to be able to be released. So you can fulfill your assignment. Peter had an assignment, and he couldn't do it from jail. All right? He couldn't do it if he was dead. You know, but God had other, you know, another word on that. Come on. All right, one last example. I'm going to finish here pretty quickly. So, you know, in a little bit, if the worship team wants to start getting ready, I'm good with that. All right, Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. This is important. It says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and what? Fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. It says here that they were together in unity, fasting, and praying. They were not asking for their will to be done, but for God to do His will. And the Holy Spirit said, here's the plan. This is going to impact the Gentile world and history forever. Set me apart, Paul and Barnabas, to the mission field. So they completed their fast and laid hands on them. Holy Spirit has a plan. Amen. And this is how missions are most effective, I would tell you, under the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus gave us the Great Commission. What did He say? Go and what? Make disciples. Over here, focus on me. Focus on me. You know, stuff's happening over here, but I want you to state that this is important. Okay? Jesus said, go and make disciples, right? And He said, I am with you, right? Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Right? But what did He say? He says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Yes, I give you some instructions, but you cannot follow the instructions unless the Holy Spirit is at the helm. All right? And not just a little bit. It says you're going to be baptized with the Spirit and fire. You know, baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a word that Pentecostals came up with. All right? Jesus said it. You will be baptized. That's the word He used. Amen? You need to be so full of God that when you go out there, you're just acting like Jesus. You don't even know it. People are being changed. You know, people say there's something about them. You know, there's like a, the Bible calls it a scent, that's another word for it. It just gave me like aroma, thank you, an aroma. You know, there's an aura around you and people are touched just by being around you. I don't know if you know that. When you go into a place, God is with you. And your angel, the angels that God has assigned to you are with you. And things begin to change at your job. They begin to change in your home. Amen? So you need to believe that God is with you. You know, and when you're so full of God, you're like, I haven't said anything cool. I haven't said anything that sounds really spiritual yet. But things are happening. Why? Because God loves people. And He's using you. And God is going to cue them and say, hey, God said to Cornelius, you know, there's this man named Peter. You need to listen to what he's got to say. You know, and so God will send him your way. You know, there's something about that person. Just listen to them. Amen? Hallelujah. When David was fighting all kinds of armies who opposed the nation of Israel, still he would ask, shall we go up against them? We have to ask God, what do you want to do here? Where are you at? We're not asking you to bless what we're doing. We want to be where you're going. We want to be in your perfect will. Amen. God loves people. He will save them in so many ways, even when we're out of His will. You know, He's just amazing when He does that. Because He loves people. You know, part of His will is to save people. But you know what? The best kind of glory that He gets is when we do exactly what He had planned. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17 says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I believe that callings are going to be confirmed in this season. The next step for you in your life to take, you know, there's going to be a deep desire to serve the Lord that is going to come upon many, you know, of you after a time of prayer and fasting. And I believe this section is prophetic right here. While I was a young man, I would be at work or school and could not stop thinking about ministry and serving. Hallelujah. I believe that some people are going to just have such a fire for ministry, you know, over the next year. I believe that God is going to call forth more small group or connection group leaders over the next year. More teachers. More people are going to serve in the youth ministry and the children's ministry, and is going to call some into full-time ministry. I prayed what Jesus told us to pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the fields. For the work is plentiful and the workers are few. And when we focus on God, He begins to confirm His plan for your life. The destiny, what you were designed, you know, for since the beginning of time. Get ready because God has His eyes on you. Tell the person next to you, God has His eyes on you. Willie and Lorraine. I don't know if you're in this room. I don't know if they're in here. But Willie and Lorraine, they're not here. Hope they get this message. You need to be thinking larger because God is going to send you workers. And you're going to need places to put them. All right? Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. All right. So let's conclude this. This is my last slide and I finish with this. Okay? What happens when we have unity in prayer? When we have one prayer, it releases the power, the strength, and the wisdom of God. All of the realities of heaven. Number two, it is a reflection of God Himself because God Himself, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And it's a love-bound relationship. There is no disagreement whatsoever between them. You know, and Jesus said in John 17, you know, verse 22, I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as we are one. So we're going to become one in the Spirit. Amen. Remember, we're here to be a reflection of the realities of heaven. Reflection of who the Godhead is. You know, perfect unity, synchrony, purpose, and a love relationship. Love has to be, you know, the glue. Hallelujah. John 15 verse 9, as the Father has loved Me. Because you wondered if Jesus was loved by the Father loved Jesus. It is love. It says, as the Father has loved Me, so have I loved you. Now remain in My love. Remember the other verse that says, by this they will know that you are Mine, or my disciples by the love that you have for one another. All right. Number three here. Prayer and unity. One prayer. It impacts communities and nations. Hallelujah. We want to be relevant to Sierra Vista. We want to be relevant to Fort Huachuca, to Huachuca City, to Hereford. Hallelujah. And to the surrounding areas, wherever the Lord would lead us, and to the nations. Amen. One prayer brings salvation and freedom. I believe that many are going to come, you know, to the feet of Jesus, you know, to ask for forgiveness. Hallelujah. We're going to love on them. We're going to be ready to receive them. And you know, many are going to be set free from the chains. You know, even though you can be saved, you can still carry some chains with you. I don't know how that works, you know, but you can still have bondage in your life, you know, to fear and doubt and lust and so many things. You know, but as the people of God pray, you know, as we cast out demons, you know, people are set free. Amen. The anointing and the power of God. Hallelujah. Yes. And we all know that one prayer activates our callings. It's going to confirm, you know, what you were designed to do, what your place is. Some of you have asked, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do. You know, God's going to begin to just put a deep desire in you to get connected in a specific area, whether it's big or small. I don't know what that is right now, but the Holy Spirit knows, which is really cool. Hallelujah. And remember, when we're in a covenant relationship, when one wins, we all win together. Amen. Amen. There's a transfer of anointing and blessing. I want to say something real quick as the music begins to play. If you don't have a covenant relationship with God, if you have not come to Him on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus, this is your day. I really believe there's somebody here, you're saying, you know what, I'm not really sure where I'm going. If I were to die today, I don't know where I stand with God, you know, or maybe I made a decision before, but I walked away. You know, I just don't feel connected. If that is you, I want you to be bold today and just raise your hand really quick. You need salvation in your life. Is there anybody here? There's a hand right here. Yes. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? I need a prayer of salvation or rededication. Hallelujah. Let's receive 2018, you know, with a heart full of praise for Him. Amen.